Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Kenyan Wolves podcast. Today, I'm joined by Mr. Wayne Hennessy Barrett, who is the CEO of 4G Capital. So 4G Capital is a neobank for Africa. So that's how Mr. Wayne describes it. So, and obviously, he'll go deeper into, you know, what a neobank is and what 4G Capital does. So welcome again, Mr. Wayne, to the show.
Eric, thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be with you again.
Awesome. Thank you very much. So I guess we'll just go deep into straight into the podcast. So last time we spoke, I think it was around in October last year. You guys had just signed a loan facility with Citibank. So it's important that at least we touch base again to see how far you've come as a business, given that, you know, COVID-19 really affected most of the businesses. So it's good to take stock on where 4G Capital is at the moment and how you've responded, you know, over the last 12 months, especially in terms to the pandemic.
Well, absolutely. It's been a really tough year for the planet, let's be honest. And, you know, just answering your question kind of in the order that it came, we were really, really happy to be able to partner with Citi, with them as a financing partner, but also with a view to a deeper strategic partnership where we can really work together to bring micro and SME finance to the economy in Kenya where it is most needed. So they are tremendous partners. It was a $3 million deal denominated in Kenyan shillings and completely guaranteed by the US government, Development Finance Corporation. So that made a financial transaction that really gave us the firepower to looking after our customers and our wonderful clients at the end of a horrible COVID year, and to really have an incredible first quarter of this year. We've had an amazing quarter one. Yeah. But, you know, I'd be lying if I said that any of this was easy. You know, financial inclusion in the first place is tough. It's a big challenge, and we're enjoying, I guess, the success that we are because we've, through hard work and experimentation, found a way to give our clients what they need. But that doesn't protect you from the challenges. And so, when COVID hit, we saw a big contraction in the Kenyan economy. That affected us, but we stood by our clients. We kept lending to them throughout the challenge, and I can tell you a little bit more about that, you know, later on in the conversation if you'd like. But yeah. But no, I mean the it was a tough year, but we ended it stronger than we began. We ended the year, you know, cash flow positive and profitable on a forward going basis, which was tremendous, and a much streamer, you know, leaner, more streamlined organization, but ultimately a much stronger one for it, and we really, you know, we really held to our values and navigated through the storm that way.
Great, awesome. And just talking about then milestones, I remember back in December, I think, is when you guys crossed your 1 million loan issued. And for me, I think one of the interesting thing about 4G Capital has always been that you put financial education at the core of what you do. So it's not just about you know, giving out a loan, but it's actually pairing that up with the right financial tools to enable those clients to make, you know, better informed financial decisions.
Well, that's absolutely right. So maybe for new listeners, what does 4G Capital do? We are building the neobank for Africa. So what does that mean? We are going to be the digital lenders of choice for the micro SME sector. So we provide the propulsion for small businesses to grow. And that allows them to realize their potential. It gives the business owners and their families access to a better life, a better future. And it helps to build an economic journey from the informal market to a formal integrated existence as part of the societies of the amazing countries that we work in. And at the moment, that's Kenya and Uganda. So we're digital lenders, but only for businesses. And as you rightly say, Eric, it's not just loans. We blend loans with enterprise training. So we're giving people the ways and the means to succeed. The ways are the knowledge and the skills to run a better business. And the means, of course, is the working capital credit that allows them to buy inventory, sell it at a greater profit, and grow their lives. So that is really the core of what we do. And we're building on that foundation. And I guess, you know, just reflecting on the milestones of 2020, well, we survived. That's a pretty good milestone. And we thank God every day for that. But you know, surviving is not enough. You've got to serve your client, and you've got to help them not only to survive, but to thrive. And so the Citi deal was a big milestone, a massive one. And my friend Martin Magambe, CEO of Citi East Africa, you know, said, you know, it's a marriage made in digital heaven, which is a very, very, you know, witty turn of phrase. But it's one which I think is apposite, because, you know, we have a number of relationships through Citi with distributors and vendors that we can bring that last mile financing solution to, and help them to boost their sales, help the end client to grow their revenues by an average of 82%. And that really is the way forward as we embark on our scaling plan. But there are a couple of other milestones as well. We had another very important strategic partnership with the MasterCard Foundation. So as COVID was really biting, MasterCard Foundation allocated a significant sum of money, I think it was in excess of $8 million, to provide COVID recovery and relief to distressed businesses that would go under were it not for some form of intervention. And so because of our neobank capabilities, we were able to work with, you know, off-balance sheet funding from MasterCard Foundation, mm-hmm. and be able to distribute a significant amount to over about 40,000 businesses, in fact, yeah. who were beneficiaries of these, you know, very, very soft loans or interest-free grants, so that they could keep the lights on and really get through the storm. And that was an incredible thing to be part of. And we are looking forward to hopefully doing more things with them in the future, and indeed with the partners that they have been working with to help aggregate the businesses that you know, have benefited from this. So that was a major capability jump for us at a time of real need for everybody. So I guess that, you know, two strategic partnerships, that was pretty important. We closed our Series B round as well at a time of great need. So that was good to do. And again, that gave us the wherewithal to push through a tough year and set the conditions for a really strong 2021. And I think, you know, for me personally, as a milestone, it was more of what you would call a check bearing, you know, when you're navigating, mm-hmm. be it at land or at sea. There's a time when you just look at your compass and you make sure you're going in the right direction. You make sure you've set it correctly and you're progressing. Even though you can't see your hand in front of your face, you've got to have faith in the direction you've chosen. And really, by recommitting to our B Corp values and standards, to our service, our servant leadership approach, where we only succeed when our clients succeed, that gave us the courage really to take the risk to keep lending throughout the pandemic and throughout the lockdown, when a number of other people were not, you know, confident enough to do that, and they moved to a collections focus. We kept lending, and that helped us to rebuild our loan book to a stronger position by November than we had been in January, February. So really, you know, it was an incredible year and a great one of personal and professional growth for all of us.
Yeah. So maybe you've mentioned a couple of things, and so obviously you mentioned the MasterCard Foundation and the ability, you know, that it gave you to reach out to, you've mentioned over 40,000 businesses. I was also going to ask about the Citi partnership, which, you know, when announced, you those plans to reach 25,000 more businesses. So as we stand, maybe just from high level point of view, taking, you know, in taking into account the Q1 numbers that you're mentioning, what is the current reach of the businesses that 4G Capital supports?
Sure. So we're slightly ahead of target, actually. Going off our quarter one report, we were 26% ahead of the budget. We had around 35,000 active clients, all of whom would have been benefiting from MasterCard funding.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon, Citibank funding, quite separate to the MasterCard cohort. I think we've lent over $140 million now since the business was formed, and with over 1.3 million loans altogether, and over 150,000 clients served altogether. So we're still seeing the great impact stats. 72% of our clients are ladies. That's very important. 60% or thereabouts rural, about 30% are youth, so under the age of 35. And we think it's important to serve youth, but also to serve the older clients who can be overlooked as well. And we see repeat rates of 83% and still an average net promoter score of 80, 81, which is incredible, really. So we're kind of, we're to continue the metaphor, we're on track with we're on bearing, and we're on track, and we're moving forward at pace.
Yeah, and it's really awesome to when you mention the numbers, because given that the pandemic really affected most businesses, and in terms of actually lending, you mentioned that 4G Capital managed to keep lending throughout the pandemic. Even though other businesses sort of folded or actually stopped lending, which is one of the key things that I actually admire, that you kept with the customers through and through, even though even during the hard time when other lenders really exited the market.
Yeah. Well, it I think it's just really important when we're having this conversation to keep a humble heart. Everybody in the conversation to keep a humble heart.
Yeah.
Because it's very normal, conventional wisdom in credit and in banking that when things go south, you protect your assets. In any business, in fact, you protect your assets. And so if you're a lending business, it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do to stop lending when the economy is collapsing all around you. It would appear to be maybe counterintuitive is the professional word, and mad would be the colloquial word to keep lending during these times. So I don't think we should take any joy in people who have exited the market or really found it very difficult. And at the same time, if you move to just a collectionist focus from people who are suffering, well, they're under stress, you're under stress, and there's a real vicious circle, and negative energy can really start to come up, and credit and debt is a very sensitive product in the first place. You really have to get it right to build the kind of positive energy that allows real growth.
Yeah.
And that too can be counterintuitive, because particularly in a low data space where client files are thin, options for recourse in the event of default are limited, what we're doing is different, and it's unconventional, and it works because of a very, very magical mixture of capabilities within our company, between our artificial intelligence algorithm, but also the critical importance of our agents on the ground and the touch tech approach, together with the way our products are designed and our policies to look after people. So we kept lending through the pandemic, but we did a little bit more than that. We dropped our prices by 10%. We got rid of all late penalty and arrears fees, not just for people in 2020, but actually throughout history.
Yeah.
So all of our clients, we reset. And we just said, right, guys, we're here for you. Because we had to be. Because kind of nobody else was, really. But we knew our businesses are awesome. Our clients are the most awesome people in the world. I cannot emphasize this, you know, strongly enough, especially for international listeners who have not yet had the privilege of spending time in Africa or in the informal markets of Africa. You're talking about the strongest communities, the strongest family-oriented people, and the hardest working, most ingenious people who can make a profit out of almost anything. Yeah. And talking about just paying tribute to our Mamambogas, to the seamstresses, to the charcoal mamas, to the people selling anything, because they are solving their customers' problems and giving them what they need. And yeah. So it's our job to solve their problem and give them what they need by giving them the capital to keep going. And we knew that they could keep going. And even if they couldn't, it was only going to be a matter of a couple of months, because the world turns, and it has turned. Yeah. You know, this horrible disease is run as, you know, it's part of life today. It's part of the reality we're in. But, you know, we're human beings. We can manage this. Yeah. And our clients can, you know, they've got bigger things to worry about than COVID. And so we knew that these people would be here for the long haul, and we had to back them. So that's what we did. So that really saw us extraordinarily. Our repayment rates went up to about 97% from the people that we were supporting. And I think it was a lower base of clients who were doing things with enormous intentionality. But that was a really, you know, emotional moment, actually, to see kind of our clients, you know, back us the same way we were backing them. And then we started looking at what else we could do. So we partnered with a great health insurance provider called Turaco.
Yeah.
And we couldn't do it for all our clients, but we ran a pilot that was amazing to see, where we were able to offer Turaco health insurance to a number of our customers, which would provide healthcare coverage to also cover COVID. So if you got COVID and you had to go to hospital, this insurance would cover you. And that was great. It was an amazing thing to be able to do with them. They're a wonderful company. And that pilot was very, very important. And it's really informed how we are upgrading our technology and our systems, so that in the future we'll be able to offer that and services like that to all of our customers. Mm. Because there's a lot of tech integration that's needed to make the whole thing really fly. But we're able to kind of, you know, offer it where we could, when we could, and you know, it even if it wasn't necessarily adopted by all of our clients, I think psychologically the fact that it was a very clear statement of position that we weren't going anywhere, and we could still innovate and evolve, and you know, as long as our clients are on their feet or even on their knees, frankly, we're going to stand right next to them. You know, I think there was a period where we maybe went down on one knee, but we got up again quite quickly. So you know, that was really important. And we also were able to pivot our business training program to help people manage COVID. So, you know, a lot of, you know, crisis and contingency skills, cash management, obviously, you know, hygiene, hand washing. We, the company subsidized tailors' shops to produce thousands of face masks, which we then distributed to businesses in our locations, you know, for free. We just gave them out. That was important. We participated in a pan-Kenyan initiative called Safe Hands Kenya, which was put together by a friend of mine, Greg Murray, who's the founder and CEO of Coco Networks, another amazing company and a great friend.
You should actually link us up, because we've been trying to talk to Greg Murray for the longest time.
You will have a great conversation with him, and I'll be happy to connect you. But he's, you know, a force of nature and a very busy man, you know, himself. So he nonetheless led this initiative, which brought together probably about a dozen tech social enterprises, and we partnered to use our respective distribution chains to get hand sanitizer, detergent, washing materials, face masks to people, because you know you're not going to be able to isolate in Kenya to fight COVID. It doesn't work that way. But what you can do is take hygiene measures to mitigate transmission. And so we actually, I think we moved the needle a little bit on that one, and it was a real team effort. Yeah. So that was great. And we're also able to provide emergency food subsidies to clients who were absolutely, you know, blown by the crisis. You know, we're able to do our bit there and then. So we've always tried to, you know, never waste a good crisis. Don't let it go to waste. But it's one of those times in life, you know, you just got a decision to make. Are you gonna kind of attack the problem and move forward positively, or are you gonna hunker down and hope for the best? And you know, we saw that the companies that kind of took that approach and were positive, and were willing to take short term pain in order to position themselves. You know, well, either you do the right thing, and either you go under, but you go under honorably. Or actually you come up absolutely triumphant, which is sort of what happened with us. Or you take a lot of maybe, you know, less, I don't want to, more of a survival mindset. Mm-hmm. And actually that makes you weaker. Yeah. And we've seen that with both investors and companies as well. So we're really excited about the future, Eric. And we're really excited about 2021, which has got some amazing things ahead.
Yeah. So, and obviously, when we look at 2021, we're looking at more of sort of a recovery, both in terms of businesses and the economy, even at large. Maybe just to start, have you seen some sort of return to pre-COVID numbers in terms of your customers? And what is 4G Capital then doing to just help those businesses also recover much faster?
Yeah, we're not recovering anymore. We recovered in November, and since then we've just been flying. If I can say it like that, you know, we've never been stronger. Our book is growing; it's bigger than it's ever been. We're on track to lend probably around $75 million this year. Maybe a bit more, maybe a squidge less. But you know, it's going to be a great year, and we're enriching the training that we're providing. We're partnering with CGAP and the Social Performance Task Force to develop an indebtedness early warning system. So this is going to be an industry first, mm-hmm. where we are looking to provide, you know, really scalable, tech-enabled question sets that can identify when somebody, you know, before somebody is going to get into trouble, so we can predict it, and therefore, you know, take the appropriate action, pause, change terms, whatever's best. And once we've kind of got up with our learnings and our findings, we're going to share our results with the regulators in Kenya, or the central bank and the commercial authorities, and then, you know, share them with the rest of the industry. Because I think that's just really, really good thing to kind of, you know, help us all evolve together. So that's on the impact front, and very much, you know, in keeping with the B Corp mission. And yet we're just, you know, we're helping our customers grow, and they are growing. You know, we're seeing our average loan size go up. It's gone up by about 20-25% mm-hmm. in the last two quarters as people's volumes are recovering. And so whilst there are still real challenges in the economy in Kenya and Uganda and worldwide, in the informal market, you know, it's, you know, Biashara is underway. You know, we're in business. People are buying and selling, and they're moving forward with the, you know, the joy and the energy and the entrepreneurialism that is so amazing about Kenya.
Yeah, and I think you've also mentioned one of the questions that I was going to ask in terms of just what policies then or initiatives can we do both by the public, by the private sector and the government to then just boost the informal sector and specifically small businesses. I know you've mentioned your partnership with CGAP. Is it to develop that, that framework? So what else can we do to just improve?
So I guess my baseline statement is that I think we're quite blessed in Kenya with a very pro-business government. I think that they think about things before they do them, and they do them with a view to a better future. So I find that very encouraging. we're looking forward to the realization of the regulation that's coming from the central bank, which will focus on customer protection. We think that's great. We've been supporters of that for a long time, and we're on record for saying it. So I think that's a positive development. But I think the really important thing is just let people trade. Let people trade. By all means, have the frameworks for customer protection and all that kind of stuff. But you know, it's really tough for governments. And governments are the easiest thing to criticize. But it is such a hard job. My first career, I was an army officer, and I worked in government at times. Yeah. And it is such the complexity of the problems and the challenges faced. And you have to look after all constituencies, including the ones that don't vote for you, and really think about the immediate term and the long term. And so it's really, really tough. So my comment would simply be, let business flourish, and then the tax take will go up automatically.
Yeah.
Because you know, the data shows that whenever governments anywhere try to really hike up the taxes, it has a stifling effect on business.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot to be learned from that. And you know, we've all tightened our belts, and you know governments have to do that sometimes as well, and just make sure that you know, things are prioritized or phased appropriately over time. But I'm upbeat. I think the government in Kenya has got it, and they'll, you know, there's an elasticity, there's a pragmatism to things, which I think is very sensible, especially compared to some other places.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's a good thing that you've also commented on the regulation that has been now officially put out by the central bank, and we are looking forward to that coming into effect to just, you know, better protect the customers from unscrupulous, you know, activity in the lending business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. Then, as we get to the end of the podcast, then what's next for OG Capital? What are we looking forward to this year?
Yeah, what's happening? Well, we are really excited. We're on track for our Series C raise this year, and we're looking forward to really kind of going to market within the next month, we hope. And we've got some wonderful conversations and some, you know, really, really, really exciting potential partnerships to engage with, and that's very exciting because it'll give us the capital that we need to really deepen and to scale.
Yeah.
So deeper in Kenya and Uganda, and then in time, you know, wider. We're looking at West Africa. We're looking at North Africa, and kind of keeping that cadence of trying to stay on top and potentially even exceeding that as our digital channels develop. We're looking, as our tech roadmap unfolds, at being able to bring in more products and services to our existing clients and indeed to new clients.
Mm-hmm.
We're very excited about scaling partnerships through our friends from Citi, their clients. But yeah. Really, you know, I think this is a year where we can kind of fly the flag for an East African business that has got a universal appeal across Africa and actually across the world, because what we're talking about is helping small businesses to grow. And we're in a changing world, and our approach of providing people with the ways and the means to succeed is really what we need as a human race.
Yeah.
To equip people with the skills to deal with a very rapidly changing world. We've got climate change unfolding. There will be human migration. There will be new ways of living and dealing with the environment around us. We have to steward and care for that environment.
Yeah.
Whilst also making a living more efficiently and more responsibly than in the past. So, you know, if you're going to cut down a tree, you've got to grow too. You've got to plant too.
Uh-huh.
And we need to kind of put that mindset into people's heads at every level. It's no good just being patronized by wealthy people, you know, at various international forums. This is stuff that we have to have in our hearts and in our minds on a daily basis as entrepreneurs at every level. And you know, any farmer will know that. Any fisherman will know that. You know, anybody from the rural communities we serve, they've never been able to just, you know, completely ravage their lands because they live there. That's their ancestral homelands. And so caring for and stewarding the environment is in our bones. You know, the human race is not the problem. But we have to change our mindset about how we care for where we operate. And there's actually more abundance and more greatness to be had by just doing things more mindfully and leveraging technologies, leveraging, you know, clean and intelligent technologies, and providing the right kind of financial inclusion and knowledge and which that can make all this a reality. And so we're very excited about being able to bring a Kenyan success story to the rest of the world in the coming years.
Awesome. I'm really also looking forward to, you know, to see, you know, just the growth by the company this year. And I know you've already given us too many nuggets of wisdom already in this episode, but what would be any, you know, last words or pieces of advice to small businesses in Kenya and across the continent?
Look after your customers, but also look after yourselves. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So in your busy day, take 20 minutes, half an hour to breathe, meditate, pray, do some exercises, do your press-ups in the morning, kiss your kids, tell your partner you love them, because you know, you can't ever replace those things. So that will make you a better business by just holding on to your values and looking after yourself, because without you, you know, you can't do your job. So that's kind of it, really. Just, yeah, look after each other.
Thank you very much, Wayne, again, for making the time and for coming on the show.
It's absolutely my pleasure, my friend. I wish you and your team very well, and keep up the brilliant work. It's a tremendous platform that you've put together, and we all value it greatly.
Awesome. Thank you very much.